This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
No, I mean, I let them, you know, yesterday was a travel day. You know, we went from, I've been on the West Coast so long, I think I should pay taxes on the West Coast. We traveled to San Fran yesterday, and I gave the guys, yesterday was like a rinse day for me. Like I let them enjoy it. We did a lot of media. The guys did a lot of media. We watched film. We did a walkthrough on Florida. But for the most part, I just gave them yesterday to kind of enjoy the win. I wanted them to embrace it. I want them to, you know, this group has been phenomenal coach and so much fun to coach. I think you have to celebrate your success. But at the same time today, I told them last night, I'm like, guys, we're getting back up today, and they were all business. You know, they understood it. I think they appreciated the fact that, you know, I didn't grind them yesterday, and I just gave them a day to be kids and enjoy winning a buzzer beater in March Madness.
So that was Kevin Willard yesterday on the Kevin Sheehan Show, 980 The Game in D.C., and talking about the game plan heading into this matchup tomorrow night against Florida, top-seeded Florida, 7:30 tip, pregame 6:30 right here on 105.7 The Fan. And the question I'll ask is, this is the first time they've been an underdog since what, when they were in Champaign to play Illinois?
January 28th.
Yeah, so it's been a minute. Could that maybe being the hunter instead of the hunted, could that relax these guys a little heading into tomorrow's game?
I think it's possible. They have undoubtedly been tight. And it's not just these two games. They were tight at Penn State, which was kind of sort of a must-win game if you wanted to get as high of a seed as you could possibly get. They were absolutely tight senior day against a Northwestern team that was without several key starters and was very undermanned. And had limited offensive capabilities. The only way you could keep them in the game was, frankly, by playing at their speed and turning it over more than them. That Maryland complied for quite some time. I think the pressure had mounted of them becoming more and more of a national story, this Crab 5 thing taking off, the whole country being aware that they don't have a bench, but they've got the highest scoring, you know, starting five in the nation. I think it was building on their shoulders, and you started to see cracks form in their offensive continuity, in their ability to start games quickly. And by quickly, I mean pace, but I also just mean quickly in terms of they're interconnected, and Miguel's getting a shot off, and Rice is getting an open look three-pointer, and Gillespie's driving the lane. Like the bountiful ways in which they could score the basketball, when they're right, it manifests itself from the onset. And they dictate to the other team, especially when they're facing lesser teams. And we were seeing the opposite of that. And certainly Colorado State was a very close call. So, yeah, I think they can collectively exhale. I mean, maybe this is the fan in me talking more than the analyst. Maybe this is me wishing it into existence a little bit. But you go back and you look at all these opening lines and closing lines and what they've really been up against the last 7 weeks, and they've been more the hunted than the hunter. And that's now all on Florida. And you know what? Florida looked a little tight against UConn. Florida looked like they were having to chase way more than they're used to. And pressure can crack things. And I do think that maybe that's one way that the Terps win this game or stay in this game till the end. And I do think that that dynamic has flipped. And I hope, and you could hear it in Willard's voice there a little bit. He's given them plenty of time to do their thing. He's not like a taskmaster about this. I think part of that is him warning them to be a little looser and a little more sort of like having fun rather than afraid to mess up.
Like you said, the pressure is all on Florida, where last weekend it was all on Maryland, where they not only had to get to the Sweet 16, but also with all the rumors with Kevin Willard, where if they would have went one and done, then everyone probably would have put a ton of blame on Willard or the program for all of these unnecessary distractions. And you also play back-to-back double-digit seeds in which you were pretty heavy favorites in both of them. They're 6.5-point underdogs against Florida. I saw a tweet from someone who works for BetMGM. 87% of the money is on Florida to cover. So no one, if we come in Friday and they end up losing by 6, 7, 8 points, and no one's really going to bat an eye, where this is a game you can let it all hang out, and they're going to need to score some points against Florida because they're the third highest scoring team in the country. They've scored 80 points in 29 of their 36 games. Now, the game that they just played against UConn dropped 77, and you're right, Jason, they definitely were a little tight in that game. You can let it all hang out Thursday night.
Well, they better, because like, and I know it's every game's win or go home, but the thought process going in, and I'm sure Kevin Willard is beating this into their heads yesterday, like, nobody expects you to win. Like, they're better than you. Everybody thinks you got no shot, so show them you got a shot. Like, I'm sure he's doing all the psychological warfare he can heading in.
We had Chris Nocke on the show Monday, guy who's coached Division I basketball and been around this particular program a long time. And I asked him about the chippiness, or what I viewed to be the chippiness, of Colorado State. And he had a great answer for it, right? He talked about, you know, their coach is probably saying, we play these guys
best out of seven
series, we might steal one. Now, can we steal that one tonight? And if we do that, this is how you have to play. And you kind of, you play on their psyches a little bit and you get them wound up and you hope they go out there and they compete. Now, they went over the line to me in a couple of instances, not just one. They got away with it. And I'm not condoning that or necessitating that. But I do think that degree of hustle, that degree of locked in, that degree of us against the world, it can move mountains a little bit. It can level the playing field. And they've got to embrace it the way a Colorado State, frankly, embraced it.
No, that's a great point, where Colorado State was winning a heck of a lot more 50-50 balls than Maryland. You got to get down on the hardwood to get loose balls. You have to rebound much better than you did against Colorado State, because Florida, they will kill you with second chance points where Colorado State didn't. The effort has to be there. They got to be playing with their hair on fire.
It's going to be fascinating. And by the way, and we'll get into this a lot more tomorrow, but what a sports day it's going to be tomorrow with the Orioles opening and the Terps playing in the evening. Maybe the Ravens will give us a signing of some sort to just completely give us a crap.
Or they could contract. Wait till next week.
I would like that. I would like that as well. But it would just fill up the day. But we have a
Sashi, if you're listening, I know you are.
Push it back. Huge show today. Hump Day Wednesday. We get started. Guess what?
Don't run it back.
Yeah, no. Push it back way back. Tim Murray from VSiN will get his best bets from for the Sweet 16 coming up at 3:30. Our weekly chat with our friend Rita Hubbard coming up at 4:30. And it's baseball season. So our first weekly chat with our friend from Baltimore Baseball tonight. Ryan Ripken. We'll find out if the Orioles are fine at 5.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yes. Bone, oh, that's right.
Bone overdrive, fate uncertain. BBT, back with a vengeance.
Yes. Friday.
For the next 6 months.
Yes. That is certain.
That's locked in.
That is locked
bone
in.
Bone overdrive?
Bone overdrive, I would say. Bone future uncertain.
I don't mean to go too off the rails and too inside baseball. Is bone overdrive dead forever, or do you think it's back for football?
I think it could be on life support.
Yeah. And that of course, is BFD.
I'll just say it's above my pay grade.
Okay.
How about that? A political answer.
But it's your baby.
It is my baby. I love BFD.
Sometimes you got to birth your baby out in the world.
I miss BFD.
Let it go where it goes.
Yeah. I miss it so much.
You got to let that toddler bounce off some walls and fall down a few times. Maybe roll down a set of steps.
Yes. Well, they're pliable.
How are your kids growing up?
They're pliable at that age.
This is more, I think, a statement of bone overdrive than it is an actual child.
Yeah. This is a figurative child, not a real baby.
Like content baby.
Yes.
It's Bone's content.
Yeah. We will have a ton of football, baseball.
Hey, the good news is, Bone, they can't kill the Bone Simulator.
Yeah, no.
So you got it's back tomorrow.
They're not killing TMI. TMI is a moneymaker.
Yes. Yeah.
It's got highs.
That's what I'm saying. It's a moneymaker. So they can't take that away from you, Bone.
Yeah. Coming up next, the elephant in the room with the Maryland Terrapins basketball team, Kevin Willard. Will he be the coach of this basketball team next season? Have we heard anything new concerning Kevin Willard and his future with the University of Maryland? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
So, are you staying?
As of right now, I'm staying, Kev, yes.
As of right now, but are you going to get the things that are you comfortable right now saying that you're going to get the things you need and you are going to be at Maryland as the head coach next year and beyond?
Absolutely. I mean, Brian Ullman has been phenomenal. He's the first guy that's actually sat down with me, talked to me, and really found out what my concerns and what I really wanted, because it's not a contractual thing for me. It's more of a program thing for me. And Brian and I are on the same page. He has been awesome.
So that was Kevin Willard yesterday on the Kevin Sheehan Show, 980 AM in D.C. And he was asked point blank, are you there? And he's like, I'm here for now. And so there was a lot brewing yesterday, including a rumor that Richard Pitino was going to be the next coach of Villanova. Well, he took the Xavier job last night, so he will not be going to Villanova. And so Villanova still needs a new head coach.
He went to a Catholic school.
Yes, he did. And a Big East school.
Yeah.
So he did go to Xavier's in the Big East, aren't they? Yeah, that's what I thought. Conference movement, just making sure. So he went to the right conference, and he went to the right religious persuasion, but not Villanova. So Villanova still needs a coach. Maryland still does not have a deal done with Kevin Willard. So how are we feeling about Kevin Willard's future at Maryland right now?
Should he stay or should he go? Well, we all want him to stay.
Yes.
But this is the part of the equation we haven't really talked about. And as someone who's been paid in some capacity or another to write about sports since he was 18 years old and is about to turn 52. The part that's becoming odd to me, and Beltway Ben would know more about this than me because he's all over the internets more than me about this. Has there been any original reporting about Villanova whatsoever?
No.
Has there been any mainstream reporting about Villanova's pursuit for their next head coach?
No.
There's been none, right?
Porter Moser early on, and then that died down.
Which tells me they're after somebody big time who's contractually can't talk about it and who they have to be careful talking about it. And there's tampering and there's this and that, but everybody's got escape clauses. I'm now, the closer we get to tip off and the fact there hasn't been a single other name linked to this Villanova job, the John Rothsteins, who may have gotten this one real wrong, Goodman, whomever, like they're all pretending that this job isn't open.
Yeah.
Like it's one of the biggest jobs in the sport they cover. It's been open for a week, and there's no original reporting about it. That's the part that's starting to freak me out.
Well, when we were talking about this Monday and taking our temperature, how confident are we that that Willard is going to come back, the longer this goes on, the more skeptical I am about him returning. And Villanova, the job's still open. Willard's still talking and putting the feet to the fire for the program. I'm getting less confident the further along in the week we are.
So Kevin Willard, I assume, because I just saw that guys in the East Regional are talking right now. I saw on Twitter. So Willard will probably be talking in about, what, 3 hours, I guess?
He talks at 2:50.
He talks at 2:50? Okay, so yeah. So we're going to hear more from Kevin Willard coming up at 2:50. I do want to bring Beltway Ben in. Because we've been checking the pulse with you. How are you feeling? By the way, University of Maryland, that announcement, dude, that Kermit the Frog is replacing Kevin Willard. No, he's doing the commencement speech at Maryland. So that was a little tone deaf.
Alas, tone deaf are you?
Yeah. Beltway Ben, how are you feeling?
It ain't easy being green.
No.
I would say confidence 1 to 10. I'm at 1.
Wow.
Daryl Pines. I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Daryl Pines,
a silly guy.
The thing that he did yesterday was disgusting to the fan base. I've said it time and time again that everything going on is disgusting to the fan base. But the closer we get, and again, none of us know the exact negotiations, but it is starting to make me think, and I said it to you guys off air, if they meet what he's asked for, which SVP went on with PMT and said it's now in Willard's court. Yeah. So it sounds like they're at least getting close to meeting that. This could be a Willard thing, right? Willard, honestly, at this point, could be set on going to Nova. The Terps finally meet what he wants. Regardless if he gets what he wants, he still doesn't know who the AD is.
Yeah.
There's so much uncertainty here.
Well, you know where he wants the AD to be. Obviously. Yeah,
well, he's been outspoken about that. But this is just a horrible thing. And again, being the biggest Terps fan around, like, what I should be doing every night is watching Florida, getting ready for the Florida game. And I have not really even been able to put enough excitement into that game because every single day we're dealing with new things. And it's not even stuff that's coming out. It's speculation because Villanova has held it so close to their chest and they're so smart about it, which points to me to one thing. If we haven't heard anything from that side and Maryland is optimistic, it's pretty set what's going on. Willard is either going to screw Maryland or he's going to screw Villanova. Hopefully Villanova, but right now all the signs are pointing to Maryland.
Well, and again, it's created a backdrop that's bigger than this game, at least I think. We do have that poll up that we put up yesterday, the ultimate Sophie's choice. I think as much as a win here would obviously be huge, and it would loft this program back into a tier in terms of the final team standing that we haven't seen since prime Gary Williams.
Yeah, first Elite Eight since 02, yeah.
If the coach is still leaving after their next loss and assuming they don't have two more wins in them, boy, I think it could get pretty anticlimactic pretty quickly.
This poll's close to going final. We got a couple hours left if you still want to vote on it. IA1057 The Fan on Twitter's how you find us. Another tense day for Coach Willard and Terps Hoops in terms of the future of the program. So, Terps fans, we ask you, if you can only have one of these options, which would you pick? Beat Florida, lose Willard at 61.5%. Lose to Florida, keep Willard at 38.5%.
Let me be clear about something. If Maryland loses Kevin Willard because they are under some delusion about investing in the football program, I will lose it come Monday. I will cheer for Maryland football every week. I will support Maryland football. Maryland football in today's landscape cannot win a national championship. Cannot.
I think you can win a Big Ten championship.
But that's I was just about to get to the point. They are pounding their chest about the fact they have a top 20 recruiting class this year. But if you look deeper, they're 10th in conference in recruiting. Like, they are so far behind, and they have possibly the worst stadium in the Big Ten. So, like, it's not like anything's going to change. And unlike a lot of those Big Ten schools, they are in a pro market where a lot of those schools, Ann Arbor, Eugene, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Columbus, those are college towns. This is not a college town. It's not happening. Whereas Maryland basketball has shown and can show again with the facilities that they have can be a national title contender. So if you're going to bite your nose off to spite your face, then that's on you.
Amen.
We shall see. We shall see. Again, the fact that nobody has anything on this Villanova job tells me that they probably are waiting in the weeds, and they've negotiated everything they need to negotiate with Jimmy Sexton, the representative for Willard, And Willard's going to have a decision to make as soon as this ends. And to Ben's point, he could get everything he's asking for and still just decide it was too much of a struggle and I'm not sure about the AD, so let me just go start fresh at Villanova.
Coming up next, I'm sure you're aware of this, but tomorrow is opening day in Major League Baseball. The Orioles open in Toronto at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Do we have a BBT at 2 tomorrow? Is that what we're doing?
BBT.
No BBT tomorrow. I didn't know if we changed that up. Coming up next, though, six-pack time. Our six-pack of bold predictions for the Orioles this season. We give them to you next here on
the PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Maryland takes on Florida tomorrow at 7:30. You can hear the game right here on 105.7 The Fan, or you can watch it on TBS. And joining us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, he'll be on the call with Dan Bonner, Stan Van Gundy, and Lauren Chahadi. It's Kevin Harlan. And Kevin, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So you got number one Florida and number four Maryland. It's seeded out perfectly. No upsets on that side. What are you expecting to see tomorrow night?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, Florida is a very, very good team, and clearly the Terps are going to have to bring everything that we saw as they finished the regular season and into the Big Ten tournament into that game. Now, they've taken on two double-digit seeds and beat them, and to win in this tournament is incredibly difficult. These are conference champions you're playing. Even at the small schools with NIL and the portal the way it is, these teams that you've never even heard of have got quality players from big-time programs that have transferred and are older. They're juniors and seniors and grad students. And so that's the makeup of college basketball right now. So no team should ever be looked at, and even though they're a double-digit seed, you say, we should beat them. And clearly the Terps did, and they struggled against Colorado State out of the Mountain West. The point is that you get to this stage, the Sweet 16, completely different landscape, and they're going to see it in one of the best teams in the country that's only lost four games coming out of the best conference in the country by far. So it'll be a rugged test for sure.
Kevin, obviously you've had a lot of calls around, even just around here, that have resonated with people. We play the highlights all the time. When you see a team you're about to get win on a buzzer beater, is there any part of you that's kind of like, oh man, because it's highly unlikely that happens, you know, lightning strikes back to back. But how much do you live for those kind of situations where somebody does what Derek Queen did to win that basketball game?
It's so funny you bring this up. It's been a while since I've had a buzzer beater. I'm in the building where we're just watching the Terps finish the practice right now. We just talked with Kevin and had a nice visit with him, and the team's got another 9 minutes on the floor, then they're going to leave. But in this building about 2 weeks ago, I had Steph Curry hit his 4,000 three-point shot, and I really didn't think about, you know, how I would call it, and it came out okay. And then I watched the shot by Derek the other night when he hit that beauty. And what you do is, I think you rely on you kind of lose yourself in these games. Like you're watching the game and you're so unaffected by everything else around you except substitutions and how guys are playing and listening to your analysts and game and time and situation, you know, all that stuff. And you just kind of hope that the right words come out, the right emotions are out there. But you can't plan it because, you know, it doesn't happen that much. But as that kid was building momentum, you saw he was going to have a pretty good shot at that basket. So we all live for those calls. You don't really prepare for them. You just hope that it's kind of like Greg Popovich has a great thing down in San Antonio in his locker room. And he talks about the stone cutter in Russia and how he's going down this road and there's this big boulder in the middle of the road. And they start to chisel it so it'll get out of the way and crack in half and they can let traffic go through. And finally, on the 10,000th hit of that, you know, hammer on that chisel, it finally cracks, right? And so it's not the 900 and the it was all the ones before it that led to that great final hit of the hammer on the chisel on the rock. And so you're kind of hoping that when you're calling a game, whether it's a Lamar game for the Ravens or the Terps here tomorrow night, you're hoping that all the calls you've made during a game, during a season, will lead you to the right words and emotions if you see a great shot by Queen that wins a game for Maryland or for anybody else in this tournament. So it's kind of a process, and you just kind of hope that you're ready and prepared to go. But I hope we have one of those kind of games. This Queen, I've watched him his last three games on tape. Special player, and I'm excited to watch him play tomorrow. I really am.
Well, Kevin, you mentioned it's going to be an uphill battle, but Maryland, if they are able to pull off the upset, it's going to be their starting five, the Crab Five, the highest scoring starting five in the country. What's been your impression of all of them getting ready for this game tomorrow?
Love the guards. And here is the thing that when you look at the way this team was built, like they've got winners, right? They've got winners from other programs. They've got winners from DeMatha. They got winners that have kind of been a part of their resume that they bring into College Park. And I think that's kind of one of the keys. Like my impression is that Kevin had Reese and he had Queen. He knew he had those two guys, but he had to get some shooters. So he gets the shooters, and that's what you see with Jacoby and with Rice. Like, they've got kids from winning programs in the past, and we were just talking with him a couple minutes ago about the chemistry. He said, you've got 8 months. It's an 8 month rental. You're getting these kids for 8 months, and you just hope that all the things that can align their play and personalities, you know, coalesce. And he said, with these kids, it has. He said they've come from all over the country. They've come from different programs, some right out of high school, and they've just really, you know, embraced each other and embraced the mission and the culture that they've got, knowing that it may only last a year. Guys are going to go pro. Guys are going to go in the portal. Guys are going to move around or graduate. So, you know, you don't know how long you've got it. And I think it's forcing these kids to sit there and really think about being present. Like, not thinking about next year, not thinking about what they did or where they're going to go, but right now. And if a coach, and I think Kevin has done this, gotten these kids to think and, you know, be present, practice, traveling, games, studies, all of it, you know, I think you can survive the portal. But it's a one-and-done world now. And like I said, it's an eight-month rental that these coaches have, and they've got but the expectations of your crowd base doesn't go. Expectations are, hey, you're Maryland. We got history. You've got some good recruits. We want it now, and it's hard to do. You've got 8 months to bring them together, make them play together, and hopefully at this time of the season, perform together. And that's what they've done. By getting to the Sweet 16, they've won already. By getting this far with these kind of teams in that conference they just left in the Big Ten, like they've won. But it's a chore. It's hard. It's never been more difficult, I think, to be a college head coach than it is right now.
Talking with Kevin Harlan, Inside Access here on the Fan. Before we let you go, one last thing. There's a huge cloud over the program, at least locally, because you talk about guys leaving after this year. Well, Kevin Willard might be one of those guys leaving. This is a huge story here locally. How much, if at all, will that color the broadcast tomorrow that Kevin Willard could be coaching his last game at Maryland?
Well, I mean, if we get to that stage of the game and it becomes apparent, win or lose, it'll become a story. And clearly, if they advance to the Elite Eight on Saturday night out here, that would be a story. But listen, you know, it's a two-way street here. This guy is sought after. He had success at Seton Hall. Clearly, he's had success here. We know he can recruit. But the school has got to answer the bell, too. And you know, you can't have budgets cut. And I get the world of major college athletics. It's difficult, but you know, are you showing a coach what you think of his program and what you expect by cutting his resources? And everything's getting cut. We got jobs getting cut from the government. We got There are budget cuts all over the world in every walk of life. But, you know, there are other programs in this country that will say, hey, we're not cutting here. We're going to give you more. Yeah. We're going to give you all the things you think you need to do it. And that includes this NIL nonsense, which we're all watching, yeah. You know, just expand and go bananas. It's out of control. It's the Wild West. So, I mean, there's a lot go. There are a lot of moving parts here, and the coach is just one of them. But the whole body of college athletics right now is just trying to deal with you know, kids turning down million-dollar offers to play, and what can you guarantee me and my shot selection, my play time? Like, it's like, holy smokes, it's a different world, and they're all trying to negotiate it. And your coach is at Maryland, and every other coach in the country is trying to deal with it as well. You survive in advance. Not only is it the motto of this tournament, survive in advance is the motto for all of us.
Amen.
But certainly these coaches.
Kevin Harlan will be on the call TBS tomorrow night as the Terps take on Florida. Kevin, always great talking
Thank you
with
so
you.
Much. Thank yeah. you so much for your time, buddy.
Thank you, gang. Always fun to be on. Jason, take care.
You too, bye-bye. Brother. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Kevin Harlan, legendary voice, football and basketball. He'll be calling Maryland, Florida tomorrow. That was an interesting.
That made me feel worse.
Yeah, it sounded like that came directly from Kevin Willard.
Who he just talked to.
Yes. Yep. Coming up next, we get to the Orioles. And Tomoyuki Sugano, he was one of the Orioles. Big free agent pitching pickups from Japan. What do we expect from him, and how much of a runway, how much grace can the Orioles afford to give Sugano? We'll discuss next here on The Fan.
I thought he did great. Really can't wait to see what he does in Major League Baseball. I thought he looked really good. His velocity seems like it's in a good spot. The way, the confidence with which he transitioned to the Grapefruit League, you know, just being in the States, he's just fit right in. He seems like a natural here, and really happy that we have him.
Before we get to the Sugano part of the conversation, Orioles are in Toronto. Rock Botko reporting from Masson. Levon Soto has a locker at the game in Toronto. Jorge Mateo does not. Brian Baker also has a locker. Matt Bowman does not.
No surprises there. We'll see how quickly Jorge Mateo comes back. Does he come back before Gunner? And in the meantime, what do they do at shortstop? A topic we've talked a lot about. If you missed any of that, just go to the Odyssey app. It's all there. It's chaptered. You can hear Mike Bordick talking about it. You can hear Bill Ripken talking about it. You can hear us talking about it. As per Mr. Sugano, did you guys, I know it was up against a lot of college basketball. Did you happen to see him pitch on Masson over the weekend?
I was out of town. I did not see it.
I was watching basketball.
Yeah, I was in Connecticut.
Ben, I know you're a bit of a Sugano truther. Did you happen to see Mr. Sugano against a close approximation of the Yankees?
Yeah, he got hit around. He also pitched good in other outings. I mean,
well, not, he didn't just pitch good. In his other four appearances, 10 and a third, 5 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 11 strikeouts. Now, I also say he ain't going to be that good, but is it fair to say he's not going to be as bad as he was against the Yankees?
Well, I don't know. I think he learned a hard lesson against the Yankees, which is just how pinpoint and fine and precise his command has to be to not just, like, not thrive in the ALS, just to survive, to stay in this rotation, because a 92-mile-an-hour thigh-cut fastball is going to end up in the right field bleachers in pretty much any ballpark in this division. So, look, he's the fourth highest paid guy on this team, and he's 36 years old. Mm-hmm. So, personally, the way they set it up, I'm cutting the dude no grace. Like, you're in the middle of this rotation. You better pitch like you belong in the middle of a major league rotation, and you better do it pretty much right away. And they're hyping him up, and they can do that. But, like, this isn't some, like, diamond in the rough kind of thing. They only went out and got two real, and we'll see if he's real or not, pitchers to try to replace Corbin Burns. And he's one of them. And he's only making a few million less than Morton, who's actually had a major league career, good one. So, like.
But I think, to be fair, and we brought this up at the beginning of spring training, where we've seen plenty of players come overseas and it just looks way too big for them at the start. One bad outing, all things considered, I think he's exceeded expectations for spring training.
For spring training.
Sure. And there's going to be some outings where he is going to get hit around like that. It's going to happen over the course of the season. But you are right. It, with the state of this starting rotation, they need him to be a thing.
I think what's based on what you said, Jason, though, unless he just completely falls on his face, they're going to give him a huge runway because of what they're paying him.
No, they're going to.
Yeah.
I'm talking about me.
Oh, you giving him no runway. I know that. Trust me.
No, because it...
yeah.
This was a real thing for them.
Yes.
And this is another one where, okay, he's not the Japanese pitcher we were all talking about.
No.
Or the Japanese pitcher we wanted. But he also, he's had a whole career over there. It's not like other teams didn't know about him, right? Again, compare what this team does versus other teams. It's not like he was some discovery. Every team in the Major League scouting department has known about him for over a decade.
Yep.
And they're the ones who at age 36 decided to give him this much money to come in for a team that they said can win a World Series and compete right now. So that's the expectations they set mm-hmm. by how they talked him up, by what they're paying him, and by where he, this isn't Sasaki making the adjustment at 23 or 24, no. by when they brought him over. But like the idea that they're smarter than everybody else, or this is going to be some great find for them, when basically they've bleeped it up with Major League pitching all over the place, from the General Soreness trade to the Rogers trade to the Cole Irvin trade. Like, we can go on and on.
Sir Anthony Dominguez and
Gregory Soto. I'm just talking starters.
But we're talking pitchers.
So, like, that's the prism I'm viewing it through. So, like, I don't want to hear about... That's what the spring was for. He adjusted to the ball. The GM's on record saying he's even better than we thought he was, and the velocity's not going to be a problem, so that's the standard I'm holding him to. He better be, from the giddy-up, a guy who looks like he belongs in this rotation.
Are you still having the same expectations of Dean Kramer-level production?
I think Dean Kramer's going to have a... We'll get to our six-pack at four. I think Dean Kramer's going to have a better season than him. I think Dean Kramer's going to throw more pitches, throw more innings, get more wins, and have a better ERA than Sagana.
I also think, though, while you can't overreact to anything that's happened in spring training, though. He had one bad outing. I'm not going to say he's going to win a Cy Young because his other four outings were shutout.
Yeah,
and so everybody has a bad.
How many A lineups he faced?
That's fine. He still got outs. Bone brought up a minute ago, like guys coming over from Japan. They at first it doesn't look like it works for them, and he looked good out of the gate.
And look. He could get shelled this weekend in Toronto.
Yes, he could.
I'm going to give him some runway. I'm not going to press the panic button if he gets killed this weekend.
He's the fourth highest paid guy on their team.
They're going to give him a long runway.
They can give him a long runway. But I'm just saying, that's how they built their team. I didn't build this team.
No.
This is how they built it. There's only three people in this organization making more money than Sagana.
But aren't
Morton,
people allowed to have...
O'Neill and Eflin.
Aren't people allowed to have bad outings? Four of his five
were
good.
They're allowed to.
Yeah.
And everybody made a big deal about what he did, and that was great, including me. But what I've been saying is he's going to find out at some point in the spring, turn out against the Yankees A lineup, what the major leagues are really all about and what he's going to be able to get away with and what he's not going to be able to get away with. And what I saw over the weekend was garbage.
Coming up next here on the program, we'll get a little Purple Rain in
batting
the forecast.
Practice fastballs.
Ravens, we've heard a lot about Mark Andrews and the possibility of him being dealt before the draft. Who else might be traded by the Baltimore Ravens? We'll give you some thoughts next here on The Fan.